Good morning, and welcome to the October 1st edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, October 2nd, 2025. Big news at the top of our front page today is big pumpkins, medium pumpkins, little pumpkins, and more at the Neegangard Pumpkin Patch opening day was September 27th. This article by Ann Roten. Weather for the Neegangard Pumpkin Patch opening day could not have been better. The sun was out and it was a beautiful warm day during which folks young and old, far and near, enjoyed the fun of a working farm and the pumpkin patch. Pumpkins, as well as being used for those awesome pies, cookies, donuts, breads, and pumpkin-flavored warm and cold drinks and the ice cream we all enjoy, are also used for the fall decorating season, including Halloween and Thanksgiving. And the Neegangard Pumpkin Patch opened for the season on Saturday, September 27th. Neegangard's is one of the many pumpkin growers in the state of Illinois that's ready to help you with your fall decorating and seasonal baking. Our correspondent attended the Neegangard Pumpkin Patch opening day to check it out and snap some photos of all the fun, and upon arriving, discovered that the pumpkin crop was a sight to see this year, as the front yard was absolutely packed with pumpkins in every size imaginable. Opening day for the Neegangard Pumpkin Patch was enjoyed by many attendees and their families, coming from nearby towns such as St. Joseph, Sydney, Homer, Tolono, Savoy, Champaign, and Urbana, and some from even further away than that, too many to mention. The Neegangard Pumpkin Patch is definitely a hidden fall activity gem for family fun that is getting noticed and being visited by more and more folks every year. So if you have not visited yourself, don't take my word for it. Go for yourself for a visit, and you won't be disappointed. Mitch Neegangard informed our correspondent earlier in the year that they still have all of their farm animals for folks to see. And with that being said, our correspondent went in search of and enjoyed visiting with and feeding goats, chickens, ducks, turkeys, cows, and pigs. Our correspondent was also able to visit with some of the Neegangard family, including Mitch, Roger, and Pam Neegangard, who all reported that the day had started out very busy and was continuing in that vein, which was wonderful news. The Neegangard Pumpkin Patch is not only a wonderful place to buy a pumpkin, it also provides the working farm experience that you can enjoy from the farmhouse to the pumpkins grown in many different sizes and brought in from the pumpkin fields and laid out on the grounds for you to choose from. They also have fresh honey for sale again this year. The patch has around 35 acres of pumpkins, along with gourds, Indian corn, squash, bales of straw, corn shuck bundles, and a special area set aside that includes a bench and a scenic background where you can snap family photos. Neegangard Pumpkin Patch has a Facebook page located at facebook.com/people/Neegangard. You can check that out for future updates on what's going on throughout the season. The Neegangard Pumpkin Patch is a family-run business, and their hours for the season are 7 days a week from 9 a.m. until dark, starting on September 27th through Halloween. Payment for purchases by cash or check only. The Pumpkin Patch is located at 1883 County Road 700 North in the Sydney Township between Sydney and Philo. There are pumpkin-shaped signs to guide you to their location with a thank you on the back for having visited. You can also call Mitch Neegangard at 217-722-7866 for more information. Also on today's front page is a notice that the 16th Annual Disability Resource Expo has been set for October 18th. This is the 16th Annual Disability Resource Expo, and the theme this year is Reaching Out for Answers. It will be held on Saturday, October 18th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Marketplace Mall, located at 2000 North Neal Street in Champaign. This event is free and open to the public and offers invaluable resources for people with disabilities and their families in Champaign County and throughout East Central Illinois. Thrivent Financial East Central Illinois is proud to be the featured sponsor of the Expo for the second year. Thrivent's involvement underscores its commitment to enhancing the quality of life for individuals with disabilities by providing crucial financial guidance and support. Thrivent has been a steadfast ally since 2015, offering expertise on estate planning and special needs trusts, said Allison Boot, who is co-coordinator of the Disability Resource Expo. Their ongoing sponsorship of our event highlights the importance of financial planning for a secure future for those with disabilities. The Expo aims to provide access to information and resources from various agencies and organizations, promoting a better quality of life for people with disabilities. This year, attendees can expect more than 60 exhibitors offering insights on educational opportunities, legal support, and more. To ensure inclusivity, activities such as face painting and children's activity bags will be available. We are so grateful to Thrivent East Central Illinois for their unwavering support, Boot continued. Financial planning can be daunting, especially for families facing the rising costs of living with disabilities. To ensure accessibility, the Expo will offer complimentary wheelchair and walker rentals, additional accessible parking, ASL and Spanish interpreters, and a personal care assistance provider. Disability Resources and Educational Services from the University of Illinois will provide a shuttle service to further ensure access. This initiative addresses challenges in public transportation, ensuring everyone can safely attend. The shuttle will run every half hour from 10:30 to 3 p.m. along the route from the intersection of Neal and Center to the JCPenney entrance up to Marketplace Mall. We are working to ensure that accessibility accommodations at the Expo are top-notch. We hope that more people than ever will join us at the Expo to discover the resources available, enhancing the quality of life for individuals with disabilities and their families, said Boot. Let's move on now to our community news and notes, starting with our Rocket Recap. This was the Unity 2025 Homecoming, A Week to Remember. This article by our student correspondent, Olivia Withreft. Last week was Homecoming Week, she begins. The eventful week kicked off on Sunday with a bonfire that included games and food. Also on Sunday, the classes decorated their corresponding hallways at school. Homecoming week isn't complete without dress-up days, so on Monday, we stayed cozy at school in our PJs. Tuesday was twin day, where a student picked a buddy to twin with. Wednesday was rhyme without reason, where students dressed up in rhymes, such as military, fairy, Mary, scary, and hairy. Thursday was color war, where freshmen were pink, sophomores wore blue, juniors wore white, and seniors wore black. On Friday, students dressed in Unity gear. With Friday came the homecoming parade, where clubs, sports, and organizations took their floats for a spin. Classes also created their own floats in a competitive manner. Juniors, the class of 27, won the big prize, and they are now the two-time consecutive float champions. For the homecoming football game, Unity took on Pontiac and won 47-7. Saturday was the big dance, where Queen Shelby and King Tyler were crowned. Congratulations on Unity's 2025 Homecoming Week, A Week to Remember. Next, we move on to the weekly news from the Philo Library. By the time you hear this, it will be past October 1st. If that's the case, and if you fancy a road trip to see how the other libraries in the state look and operate, you'll want to get a passport, and the Philo Library has one for you that will start you on a new adventure. You can go 5 or 10 miles from home, or over 100 miles to all parts of Illinois. Your passport has a list of all the participating libraries and their hours, so you can plan a trip to include several libraries in the order of their opening hours. For example, you could start at your home library, and we'd suggest Philo, and pick up a goodie bag and a passport, and then head west or south to Villa Grove, Tolono, or Monticello. They're all participating. And I probably forgot a few along the way. You could go east to St. Joseph, Homer, Ogden, Oakwood, and Vanville. The possibilities really are endless. And you can bring back information to your home library and tell us what other libraries did that you liked or that you didn't like. We're always looking for your advice in order to improve the Philo Library. We've got several new books coming in. We'll start with Joy Fielding's Jenny Cooper Has a Secret. Jenny is a 92-year-old dementia patient who just made a shocking confession that she kills people. Do you believe her or not? That's the question. Another new edition, Set the World on Fire, Whistle Stop Cafe Mysteries, is a number 14 in the Whistle Stop Cafe Mystery series. It's a cozy mystery, which is synonymous with reader-friendly. There's a mystery in the story, and there are clues and characters and situations to get in and out of, but there are also things that are not so cozy. In fact, there is a murder, and it's not filled with details. There may be an attraction between the main characters, but again, there's no detailed description of romantic encounters. There are descriptions of people and their injuries and groups trying to either stay on the loose or capture some bad guys. We also have a new healthy air fryer cookbook, complete with truly healthy fried food recipes, many with low salt, no fat, and no guilt. We have also added a new DVD to the collection, Classic World Rebirth. From what's written on the case, it's going to be an exciting time in the Jurassic World series. Dinosaurs too deadly for the original Jurassic Park were left behind. A team is sent to retrieve DNA from 3 colossal dinosaurs and unlock a miracle drug that will benefit humanity. Also, we have added to the DVD collection the new edition of Superman. Come and get it. We hope to see you soon, picking up a library passport for the crawl or just stopping in to say hello and checking out our new books. Until next week, thank you for reading with the Philo Library. Next up, we have the weekly news from the Tolono Library, which is loaded with events going on. October is in full swing at the Tolono Public Library. On Thursday, October 2nd, we have the Pound Workout from 5:30 in the morning to 6:30 in the morning. Saturday, October 4th, we have Kids Story Time from 10 to 10:30 in the morning. Bring in the little ones for some spooky fun. Monday, October 6th, we have the Teen Writing Workshop from 3:30 to 5 in the afternoon. Tuesday, October 7th, is the Math Study Station from 3:30 to 5 in the afternoon. Also on Tuesday, October 7th, we have the first meeting of the Teen D&D Campaign, Dungeons & Dragons. You must attend the first meeting to participate in the entire campaign, and the D&D workshop is open for kids ages 14 to 18. On Wednesday, October 8th, we have the CU Fab Lab from 3:30 to 5 in the afternoon. This is just the beginning of the fun and special events during October at the Tolono Library. We'll also have study stations and the CU Fab Lab, coffee talk, kids story time, adult and youth painting classes, live adult craft workshops, teen Dungeons & Dragons campaigns, family movie night, and our Spooky Bookie Bash. Be sure to check out our Facebook and Instagram pages, plus our website, for all the exciting goings-on at the Tolono Library. Next up, we have the Sydney Scoop, brought to us by correspondent Ann Roten. Sydney residents and owners of the Goose and the Gander, which is located at 218 South David Street in downtown Sydney, are Brett and Angie Franson, and they have new business hours that they want to announce. They are now open on Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. They're also open by chance, Sunday through Wednesdays, if the owners happen to be at the shop working on something. They're currently featuring lots of fall items, including t-shirts, wooden and glass pumpkins, fall decor pillows, antiques, and more. And Brett reported that they also have a new line of kids' clothes, so do stop by the store at 218 South David and check it out. Those interested in finding out more information about the business can stop by during their business hours or simply call Brett or Angie at 217-530-5696. The next Village of Sydney Dumpster Day will take place on Saturday, October 4th, from 7 to 11 a.m. at Witt Park. The next regular monthly meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, October 6th at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. All monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held in the Sydney Community Building meeting room. The next meeting of the Mid-Central Women's Christian Temperance Union will take place on Saturday, October 18th at 11:30 a.m. at Monocle's Pizza in Villa Grove. Please feel free to attend. New members, both men and women, are welcome. And you can call Vice President Marjorie Miller at 217-202-4397 for more information. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 will hold their next monthly meeting at the Post Home at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney on Monday, October 20th at 6 p.m. New members are always welcome and encouraged to attend all monthly meetings. Unless otherwise posted, they are always held at the Post Home. The Sydney Improvement Group is getting ready for the Sydney Hometown Christmas event and have published vendor information for the Shop at Home part of the event, which is taking place on Saturday, December 6th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building. The building will be open on Friday, December 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. and on Saturday, December 6th at 7:30 a.m. for setup, and then the Shop at Home will start at 9 a.m. Vendors should bring tables, but chairs will be provided. Vendors will also need to bring their own extension cords and label them if power is needed for your booth. The booth fee is $15. You can make checks payable to the Sydney Improvement Group and mail them with the vendor form to Donna Hooker at P.O. Box 354 in Sydney, 61877. She can also accept Zelle for the booth fees. Vendor forms can be obtained from the Sydney Improvement Group's Facebook page, or you can call or text Donna and request a form or get more information at 217-621-4929. The Sydney Improvement Group has also posted an appeal. Is anyone interested in participating in a Christmas parade this year? It has been scheduled for December 6th, and we are looking to see if there is interest. Their Facebook page notes that last year's participation had waned, and the Sydney Improvement Group would like to know if anyone is interested by finding or responding to her post or by calling her at 217-621-4929. Are you interested in a Christmas parade this year? That's the question. Let's now find out what's happening in our night sky this coming week, courtesy of David Leakey, who is retired director of the Starkel Planetarium at Parkland College. This column covers the week of October 1st to the 7th. The closest dwarf planet to us, Ceres, comes into opposition tomorrow evening. Though you should be able to see it in binoculars, Ceres will be a challenge as it's located well below and left of Saturn in a relatively star-poor region of the constellation Cetus. Find the star Beta Ceti and move your binoculars to the left and slightly up. Ceres will appear star-like, adding to the difficulty of seeing it. The key is to draw a chart of the region and then check back in a couple of weeks. The star that has appeared to move will be Ceres. If you look in the east-southeast after sunset on Sunday night, you'll see a nearly full moon rising just above and left of the planet Saturn. A small telescope should show the rings, though they are nearly edge-on and will appear as a line right across the planet. Monday evening is October's full moon, which this year is called the harvest moon. It's also a supermoon, though astronomers don't track those, and the human eye won't notice any difference. The harvest moon is known for its rise time, which doesn't change much in a few days. On average, the moon rises 50 minutes later each night, but this time of year, successive rise times are only 18 minutes apart. And with more news from Parkland College, they are offering two new planetarium shows in Spanish, both on Saturday, October 4th. The first one, starting at 3:30, will be Un Cielo, Un Mundo, La Aventura de Big Bird. This is a Sesame Street show offering an introduction to the Starkel Planetarium night sky. The show takes viewers on a trip to the moon with Big Bird, Elmo, and Hoo Hoo Zhu. The show is funded by the PNC Bank Foundation grant and produced by the Adler Planetarium, the Sesame Workshop, the Beijing Planetarium, and the Liberty Science Center. The second show, in Spanish, will start at 4:30, and it is titled Astronomía a Gran Escala. This full-dome show explores the world-class observatories that are nestled in northern Chile's mountains. Learn why Chile, with its beautiful mountain ranges and clear, cloudless skies, creates an ideal environment for studying the cosmos. Admission for each show is $4. Tickets can be purchased online or at the door, beginning a half hour before each show. Members of the Friends of the Starkel Planetarium are admitted for free. For more information on these shows or upcoming Starkel Planetarium events, you can visit their website at planetarium.parkland.edu. Next, we want to honor two local students who have been named to honors status at the Southern New Hampshire University. First is Addison Montgomery of Philo, who has been named to the university's Summer 2025 Dean's List for achieving a grade point average of 3.5 to 3.7. Also honored by Southern New Hampshire University is Samantha Harnack of Tolono, who has been named to the Summer 2025 President's List, honoring her achievement of a grade point of 3.7 or higher on a 4-point scale. Congratulations to both of these outstanding university students. Next up, Horizon Healthcare will be offering a safe sitter class, babysitting, for boys and girls ages 11 to 13 on Monday, October 13th. The class will start at 8:30 and go until 3 p.m. at the Horizon Health Education Center, which is next to Wendy's Restaurant on U.S. Highway 150 in Paris, Illinois. Safe Sitter is a nationally recognized class that teaches children home alone safety skills when caring for themselves, younger siblings, or while babysitting. The class provides tips on safety and security precautions, facts about child development and age-appropriate activities, and explains the business aspects of babysitting. Other benefits to be gleaned from the class include enhanced self-esteem, introductory employment skills, personal safety, and other life skills. The class for the workshop is $50, which covers materials and a lunch. No parent is required to be present except for picking up and dropping off your child. You can register by Thursday, October 9th at 5 p.m. at myhorizonhealth.org and look for the classes link. For more information, you can also call 217-466-4333. Next, we have an item from State News. Capital News Illinois has surveyed 1 in 4 Illinois sheriffs about ICE cooperation. Here is what they found. As the U.S. government escalates immigration raids in Illinois and nationwide, some Illinois sheriffs are expressing support and a desire for greater cooperation with federal immigration enforcement, despite state laws that limit their involvement. In fact, Illinois law prohibits sheriffs from assisting ICE with immigration enforcement. A survey of Illinois sheriffs by the Medill, Illinois News Bureau for the Capital News Illinois noted that over two-thirds of those who responded are frustrated by the state law and would favor repeal or changes. A few described actions that appear to conflict with state restrictions. What are they going to do to you? Adams County Sheriff Anthony Grutens asked regarding the consequences of violating the state law. Are they going to have me lock myself up in my own jail? He asked. The Illinois Trust Act, signed in 2017 by Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, and the Illinois Way Forward Act, signed in 2021 by Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker, limit sheriff's involvement in civil immigration enforcement. Under state law, local officers may not hold someone for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They may not grant agents access to jails or share non-public information unless there is a federal criminal warrant or court order. Medill, Illinois News Bureau and the Capital News Illinois sought to survey Illinois sheriffs about how they perceive their roles in immigration enforcement. Of the 102 Illinois sheriffs, 28 responded to reporters or answered survey questions electronically. Medill Bureau reporters reached out to unresponsive sheriffs at least 3 times over several months by phone, mail, email, and sometimes in person. Sheriffs surveyed come from geographically diverse regions of the state, although the state's 21 northernmost counties, aside from Cook County, did not respond. Sheriffs' views varied widely. Some said they had no opinion due to their county's lack of immigration activity. Others said they favor repealing or revising state limits to allow more cooperation with federal immigration enforcement. This concludes our reading of the Wednesday, October 1st edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.